Let's start here. Okay, first, thanks to Eric for hosting again. And I hope, Ezrat Hashem, whoever is planning on coming on a regular basis, I hope this will be a very, very good opportunity to have a. I think it's the first time that we've had a regular Gemara Shir in English in Yad Miyamin and Daviomi, but not something a little different. So, right. Okay, so thank you to Eric. We'll see. Hopefully it'll work.
Moshe Obi wants to please come in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Mesader. Great. Okay. So we'll see. Basically, for whoever's planning, I know you, but whoever's planning on coming in on a regular basis, so we should decide together exactly how we want the style this year to be. I'm going to start tonight with, again, a couple interesting things, and we mentioned on the posting it's going to be some sort of combination of Bekius and Ian. But feel free to put in your two cents, and if you want to spend more time on the Ian part or go a little faster or, more other, outside sources that I throw in there here and there, let us know and could try to, take the majority, the majority vote for whatever people want. I'm happy to do, okay? But I think whatever we do will be a very, very positive experience, and I hope it'll be a good opportunity to really, not just deal with only the halachic realm, but also just to use your minds a little more in, classic analytical Gemara with a little bit of halacha thrown in there also. This is really, Gemara is really the real deal. Okay, so we are starting Maseches Sukkah. Maseches Sukkah, of course, is about the holiday of Sukkot. I think that everybody knows. The Maseches Sukkah generally has two topics, and this is going to be, we're going to have a couple introductions tonight. Okay, this is introduction number one. There will be one or two other introductory topics that we'll discuss very briefly. Sukkah has two major topics, and that is, anybody know what they are? Take a guess. What are the two major mitzvot that we have on Sukkot?
Lulav,
Arba Minim, and good, and Sukkah. Excellent. Okay. So basically, the most of the Masech that we say. Good.
Late at night. Almost.
It's only 8:30. That's all. So we have Sukkah and Lulav and Arba Minim are the two major topics in the Masech. At the very end of the Masech, there are a few other things also that are thrown in there, having to do with some of the Korbanos and other aspects of Sukkot. But these are really the two major topics. The first two Prakim, which we're going to be focusing on here, are basically about the mitzvah of Sukkah. And that's going to be our topic here. When it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah, so we have a few different components of the mitzvah of Sukkah, really two major parts of the mitzvah of Sukkah. Well, what they are, meaning what two aspects can you basically describe a sukkah as being composed of? The sukkah structure. What is a sukkah made out of? Schach and the walls. Good, excellent. Those are the two major categories of the sukkah, what it's composed of. Okay, we have the schach and we have the walls. Right. We'll see in the Gemara, as we learn through the next couple of weeks, we'll see both aspects being discussed, and certain parts will be overlapping. We'll have aspects of both together. So that's those are the two major parts. There are other aspects also that we'll see when we go through. And as we'll see, most of the different, we call psulim, meaning most of the different things that invalidate a sukkah either are based on something that's wrong with the walls or something that's wrong with a schach. Okay? The Meiri, again, I don't have this on the sheet here, but the Meiri points this out. The Meiri, one of the Rishonim from Provence, he points this out in his introduction to Masechet Sukkah, that the main psulim in the Masechet have to do with, for Sukkah, either have to do with the walls, have to do with the schach, or category C would be other things. Okay, there's something else wrong with the Sukkah, which we will discuss, actually we'll start tonight a little bit, and later on, if we ever get to Daf Tes, other aspects having to do with Kavana, with what your intention is for the Sukkah, what did you plan the Sukkah to be used for? That's, I guess, category C. We'll call it other, such as intention, things like that could invalidate a Sukkah. Okay, that's the, I guess you would call it the first introduction to Maseches Sukkah. Okay, good so far? We didn't really say anything yet. Just gave a couple categories. All right. Introduction number two. So this, just thought we'd spend a few minutes talking about what exactly is the mitzvah of Sukkah. Okay, we have a mitzvah on Sukkah. So anybody remember the pasuk? Remember what it is in Parshas? Excellent. Excellent. Very good. That's basically the only pasuk that we have for Sukkah. So it comes from Parshas Emor from 2 weeks ago. It's basically one line. You should sit. You should dwell. Teshvu. We'll discuss what that means. But you should dwell in your Sukkah for 7 days. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, all the citizens of the Jewish people, Yeshu ba Sukkot, should dwell in their Sukkot. So again, this could take us months to discuss exactly what the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah is. What is it? What's the mitzvah? What aspects of being in the sukkah are included in the mitzvah of living in the sukkah that we're not going to talk about tonight? But again, they discuss it. We talk about food, we talk about sleeping, other things. That's one aspect of the mitzvah of sukkah. The other aspect of sukkah, which we'll spend a few minutes talking about now, is there any mitzvah of sukkah before sukkahs? Meaning it's clear from the pasuk that we have a mitzvah of living in the sukkah for 7 days, and it seems that there is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is all the whole time of sukkahs. The mitzvah is for 7 days, which might contrast matzah, which we're not going to have time to get into now either. Matzah is an interesting question, whether the mitzvah of matzah applies all 7 days or not. Okay, the answer is, anybody know?
No.
Probably not. Okay, the mitzvah of matzah, the chiyuv of eating matzah, probably only applies the first night. However, there are poskim, and I spoke about this in Shari Tefillah, I think, the seventh night. There are poskim that talk about the possibility that maybe eating matzah all 7 days might be a fulfillment of a mitzvah. It's not an obligation. Maybe it fulfills a mitzvah. When it comes to sukkah, though, whatever is included in the mitzvah of living in the sukkah, whether eating or sleeping, does that mitzvah apply all 7 days? The answer is absolutely.
Probably yes.
Okay? Yes, it definitely does. Okay.
If you need to sleep, that's the thing.
Oh, so that's so good. I wasn't going to get into this too much, but there are sukkah. Right. So there's actually a couple explanations to this. Why is there a difference between matzah and sukkah? I mean, both apply to holidays that are 7 days, but yeah, the mitzvah of matzah, the obligation is only for one night, and the mitzvah of sukkah is really for 7 days. So what's the difference based on? It's not so clear. Just to throw out two ideas at you before we move on. One idea, this is mentioned in the Baal HaMor at the end of Pesachim. We're not going to read it inside, but the Baal HaMor at the end of Pesachim basically says more or less what Eric was saying. Okay, do you need to eat matzah? Can you survive without eating matzah? What's the answer? I know you all love matzah, but do you have to eat matzah in order to survive? No. Yeah. What do you have to make sure not to do on Pesach? Not eat chametz. Good. All you have to do is not eat chametz. But do you need to eat matzah? No. You can survive with potatoes. You can survive with, I don't know, meat, fish, fruits, vegetables, plenty of other things to eat besides matzah. So in terms of matzah, as long as you don't eat chametz after the first night, there's not necessarily an obligation to eat matzah. Sukkah, however, the part of the mitzvah of sukkah involves eating in general, eating anything or sleeping in the sukkah. So when it comes to eating, the way the Baal HaMor explains it is that you need to eat. You can't go for 7 days without eating. Since you need to eat, and eating requires sukkah, so therefore automatically, what we say, mimela, it automatically ends up being that you need to have a mitzvah of sukkah for all 7 days. Okay. Sleeping is the same thing. Can you go for sleeping for 7 days, without sleeping for 7 days?
Nope.
You've gone for, I don't know how long you've gone for. You've tried, right? It is possible to go for a long time for those of us who, whatever, have a lot of obligations to take care of. We try our best, but I think 7 days is a little too much. The Gemara talks about maybe going, not here, the Gemara elsewhere, I think in Shavuos, talks about 3 days, that you can't sleep for 3 days. If you take a Shavua that says that I'm taking a Shavua, I will not sleep for 3 days, it's invalid. The whole Shavua is a Shavua shot. It's a false Shavua because it's impossible to not sleep for 3 days straight, I think. Anybody done any studies on this? I don't know. It's a check.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. I think you can.
You can? Really?
Yeah, but you can start getting really sick after 3 days is like pretty much... After 3 days, you start getting, like, showing symptoms of all sorts of things. Like
interesting. Wow. But you don't just fall asleep. It's not just automatically falling
asleep.
Well,
in the studies, they keep on, each time you like, start nodding off, they're like...
I see. Interesting. Okay, right. So that's the thing. You're nodding off anyway. Okay, whatever it is. But in general, you can't, certainly for 7 days, you can't not sleep for 7 days. And therefore, since in general, sleeping is also part of the mitzvah of sukkah, so it ends up being that the mitzvah of sukkah has to be for 7 days because you need to sleep. Those are essentially the ideas of the Baal HaMor. There's another, the Magen Avraham in Tav Reish Lamed Tes, which is in Hilchos Sukkah. So he has another answer. Again, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about this now, but just to throw it out there. So he says that the fundamental difference between matzah and sukkah is actually that the time of the mitzvah is different. Matzah, the only mitzvah, is the first night. And sukkah, the mitzvah, is fundamentally all 7 days, meaning the Baal HaMor is saying that there's a technical difference. Matzah involves eating matzah. Sukkah involves eating and sleeping, which you have to do. So it ends up being that you have to do them all 7 days. According to the Magen Avraham, the fundamental mitzvah of sukkah is all 7 days. And the fundamental mitzvah of matzah is only the first night. So there's a slight difference in emphasis for those two answers. Okay, whatever it is. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. Let's go back to one other aspect of... one other part of this introduction to talk about the mitzvah of sukkah. Okay. Is there possibly a mitzvah to build the sukkah? Right? Meaning we know there's a mitzvah to live in the sukkah during sukkahs. Is it possible that there's a mitzvah to build the sukkah as well? What do you think?
Do they call it a
mitzvah? Okay, good. So that's let's start with this. Okay, in the Torah, did the Torah say there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah?
Huh.
You sure about that?
No, in Teshuvah
sukkah.
Okay,
sure.
Good. So the truth is that there's actually I wasn't so honest before when I said there's only one pasuk that talks about sukkah. There's one pasuk that says about sukkos teshuvah shivas yamim. Okay, there's actually another pasuk as well, which we'll get back to in just a minute. Good. That's the next pasuk. Do you have a
Tanakh? That doesn't say
that. You're right. Okay, good. You're correct. Normally what we would usually assume is that there is no mitzvah to build a sukkah because it doesn't say that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. However, as your Ben, I forgot who said already, that there may be an idea, Chaim, that there's maybe an idea of a hechsher mitzvah. And hechsher mitzvah is, familiar with the idea of hechsher mitzvah? Hechsher mitzvah means the preparation for a mitzvah. Okay, that there's some idea of a mitzvah involved when you prepare the mitzvah. Okay, so therefore, since the mitzvah is to live in the sukkah, perhaps when you prepare the sukkah, okay, when you build a sukkah, maybe that is considered to be, maybe that's considered to be a part, you know, part of the mitzvah of sukkah. Again, just this, as an introduction, I didn't have a source sheet here, but I'll just throw out some makoros at you. There's a Yerushalmi in Brachos, which in Parak Tes, who says that should you make a bracha on building the sukkah? So what would you think based on what we're saying right now? Based on what we said so far, that there does not seem to be a mitzvah building the sukkah. Maybe a hechsher mitzvah, but not a real mitzvah. What do you think? Probably not.
No,
okay.
You have the mitzvah of sukkah. When you enter the sukkah, right. It's all part of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good.
Well, that bracha will cover everything.
Good. That's what we say. Now, the Yerushalmi actually says that you make a bracha on building the sukkah. Okay. The Yerushalmi also says that when you make tzitzis, when you make tefillin, you also make a bracha. Okay. Now, why would that be? So.
Two separate mitzvahs.
What do you mean by that?
There's a mitzvah for ketiva, no?
Second. Oh, so the mitzvah does not...
So
you're right.
You say that you have to write tefillin, so you have to write the mezuzot.
Oh, so is part of the mitzvah of mezuzah to put the mezuzah on the door, or is the mitzvah to write the mezuzah? Is the mitzvah to write the tefillin? Chatam al mezuzot b'techa v'yisharecha? Is the mitzvah of chatam, is the mitzvah to write it, or is the mitzvah to... take the written mezuzah and put it on your door. Okay. Same thing for tefillin, and maybe same thing for sukkah also. So the way the Yerushalmi seems to explain it is that the Yerushalmi seems to hold, again, this is not so clear, but the Yerushalmi seems to hold that a hechsher mitzvah, that preparing for a mitzvah has the same status as a mitzvah itself. Okay. And since if you accept that a hechsher mitzvah has the same status as a mitzvah, so then the Yerushalmi can say that you make a bracha on the building. Okay. What do we hold? Do we do that?
No.
We don't do that. Okay, so the Bavli, the Gemara, actually, if anybody's learning Daf Yomi here, the word Menachos, on Daf Membeis, it was a while ago, you might not remember. 2.5 weeks ago. Right. So the Gemara says there, when it's talking about tzitzis and tefillin, so the Bavli says that you don't make a bracha on making tzitzis, you don't make a bracha on building a sukkah. Okay? So why would that be? What would that be, presumably?
Why don't you make a...
What do you think? Why would the Bavli say that you don't make a bracha on building a sukkah on making tzitzis or whatever?
Because it's not a mitzvah to make them.
Okay, good. So there's two parts of it really. Number one, that the Bavli holds that there's no, you know, there's you don't make a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah. I mean, the Bavli probably holds that you don't make a bracha on preparing a mitzvah. You only make a bracha on the mitzvah itself. And step two, is there a mitzvah itself to make the sukkah or to make the tefillin?
No.
Probably not. Good. Okay. Probably not. That's the simple explanation of the Bavli. That's the explanation of the Gemara in Menachos and Daf Mem Beis, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Hilchos Sukkah in whatever 641 Tuf Reish Mem Aleph, I think it is. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, as we Ashkenazim paskens and even the Sephardim paskens this way also, that there's no bracha. We do not make a bracha on building the sukkah. Okay, now the question is
there any mitzvah way you make a bracha on what would be a mitzvah?
You tell me. What do you think? What do you think?
I'm trying to think of an example, but I can't offhand.
Food related. So the question is, do you...
Right,
the problem is the mitzvah of hafrash haschala is to... Right, mitzvah of hafrash haschala is to separate the challah. So the answer is usually probably not. You don't usually make a bracha on preparing mitzvah. What'd you say?
On the preparation.
Right, usually you don't make a bracha on the preparation of...
How about Birkat HaTorah in the morning?
Oh, so the question is, what's the bracha that you're making of Birkat HaTorah? What is the bracha for? So this is also a question, and we don't have time to get into this now, but the mitzvah, the bracha of Berakas HaTorah, right. There's different kinds of brachas.
Is it the learning Lishma, or is it so that you know how to do...
Okay, so that could be part of it, but either way, I think most people say that it's a Berakas HaMitzvah. I think it's a bracha that you make the same way that you make a bracha before you say Sfiras HaOmer, before you, you know, eat matzah. You have to make a bracha saying that Hashem commands us to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's what we.
Even if you don't learn Torah immediately afterwards, even though we do, it's part of the Nusach.
Yeah, it's part of the Nusach. But
even if you don't, you still say the bracha.
Yeah, you do. So again, you're really supposed to learn Torah right afterwards because it's supposed to be a Berakas HaMitzvah. You're supposed to say it right away. But even if you don't, you still make the bracha. Others say it's a mitzvah of Shelach Mahoda. Okay, that the bracha of Berakas HaTorah is to praise God. Okay, you're praising Hashem. Okay, it's not a command. Hashem commands us to. We're praising Hashem. Thank you for giving us the Torah. We're so happy they're giving us the Torah. The same way that you thank Hashem after eating food. Okay, you thank Hashem for giving us the Torah. Okay, whatever the case is, just one last point on this instruction that we're going to start learning inside. So there actually are some opinions that seem to say that there might be partially a mitzvah for building the sukkah. Okay. And this is actually mentioned by a few of the Achronim. The Avnei Nezer in Tshuva, or Chaim 459, again, I can't remember which one, Tufman Tessik as it is. Also the Nitziv, okay, and the Hamek Sheol, which is his commentary to the Sheoltos. So he also has a similar idea. Two sources that basically they use to support this concept, and then we'll move on. So there's another pasuk about Sukkos in the Torah, and it comes in Parshas, the end of Parshas Re'eh. Okay, I'll read it to you. Tell me if you can figure out what might be the idea. This is the idea of the Nitziv. Okay, Chag Hasukos Tasa Lecha Shivasya Maybe Aspacha Migarachom Ikvecha. Okay, anybody want to translate that pasuk? Chag Hasukos, part easy. Tasa Lecha. Good. You should make it for yourself. Shivasya Mim. Okay, Biaspacha. You gather Migarachom Ikvecha. Okay, from the grains and from the wine, meaning the harvest festival. So now the question is, what does it mean to make for yourself the Chag HaSukkos? What does that refer to? What do you think? Does it mean make the holiday of Sukkos? Yeah, we should celebrate Sukkos. Then, or latter, then. Maybe it means make the sukkah.
Okay. I always thought it was have simcha.
Okay, so the truth is that a few psukim later it does mention, the very next pasuk is with Samachta b'chagecha. Okay, so it could be some of the simcha comes from making the holiday, but that pasuk is not only necessarily talking about simcha. So what the Nesiv says, is the following. He says any time that the Torah actually uses the language of make it, to do it, then maybe that language tells you that the doing is part of the mitzvah. And even though normally a hechsher mitzvah, it's important, but it's not an actual part of the mitzvah. He says in this type of situation, where it says tasalcha, you should make it for yourself, that means that the actual making of the sukkah, which again, Chag HaSukkos refers to at least partially the actual sukkah as well, according to him, the actual making of the sukkah is included in the mitzvah. Okay? That's the idea of the Nitziv. And again, he has a couple other examples also, and I'll just look it up before tonight, but I think they talk about also, what we said before about mezuzah, some of those cases where it says you should write it, any of these kinds of cases where it talks about writing or doing, you know, the preparation, it's mentioned explicitly in the Torah, and that becomes part of the mitzvah as well. Okay, that's the idea of the Nitziv. Last Maramaka when it comes to, and again, what that means, and Rav Schechter likes to mention this idea as well, that in these kinds of situations, there's a special chashivas, a special significance to doing the mitzvah, okay, and to preparing the mitzvah in this type of situation. So again, the hechsher mitzvah in general is important. I think the other time they talk about this is what it says for preparing for Shabbos, okay, in the parsha of the month, it says, v'hechinu es asher yaviu. Okay, they should prepare it, so they understand that maybe that's talking about the preparation for Shabbos, the month before Shabbos. They got a, they got double portion of manna on Friday. Okay, so they should prepare the portion on Friday for, part of it for Friday, part of it for Shabbos. So he says also that they're also preparing for Shabbos, okay, according to that, might have a reference in the Torah. So that's why, okay, anybody familiar with these Gemaras where it says that some of these great sages used to actually like sweep the floor and make the fish and do all these things? Okay, I don't know, I'm not going to have so many of us here actually sweep the floor or make the fish or whatever it is. But it's important, okay? And they say there also that it has a special significance when it's, you know, somewhat mentioned in the Torah directly, that these types of mitzvahs, the preparation for them, has an extra special level of importance more than usual, okay? Last Maramakam for this, and then we'll start with the Masechet. There's a very, very interesting Gemara in Makos, okay? The word makos has to do with gullus, okay, with killing somebody unintentionally. All right, anybody here learned makos recently? Daf Yomi, right?
It wasn't so recent
anywhere.
It was pretty quick.
Okay. Yeah, a few months ago, whatever, 5-6 months ago. Whatever it is. So there's a discussion about so you kill somebody unintentionally. All right, familiar with this idea? Okay, if you go out, so the Torah says if you go out to the field, you're chopping wood, then what happens? Okay, unfortunately your axe slips off, and the end of the axe smashes into somebody, killing them. Okay, was it intentional? No. Was it totally by accident? No, you could have been a little more careful. If you had checked your axe and realized that it was getting loose, you know, then you might have been able to prevent it. So in that case, he's got to go to Gaulis. Okay, that's the case where he has to go and get exiled, you know, until the Kohen Gadol dies, etc., etc. Good. So there's one opinion of the Mishnah there that says that that the case that we're talking about in the Torah is a case of a reshut, meaning it's an optional case. Meaning that just like the case in the Torah is referring to a case where you're chopping wood for an option, meaning not something that you have to do, but you're chopping wood because you feel like it, so to every case of gullus is only a case where what you did was optional. However, if you were in the middle of doing a mitzvah, you were, let's say, a shliach basin, and trying to commit somebody to give a get, okay? And what do you do to commit them to give a get? You whack them, and you whack them, right? Today you get into trouble if you do that, but that's really what the shliach basin is supposed to do to try to convince somebody to give a get. He has to hit them. Let's say that you give the guy one whack too much, and what happened to him?
He dies.
He died, okay? So then his wife is permitted for other reasons, right? She becomes an almana rather than an aguna. So they're not supposed to do that, okay? It could happen. I'm sorry, it was just an accident, right? I'm not recommending this method of, don't say that you heard it here. But let's say that you did that. So according to this one opinion in the Mishnah, on Makos, on Daf, I think it's Daf Ches, they say that that's not included. If you unintentionally kill somebody that way, you're not chayav galus, because the reason why you were hitting them was part of a mitzvah. Okay? So listen to this now. Okay, so the Gemara says in that case, how do you know that the Torah's case of chopping wood is not talking about a mitzvah? Maybe the case of the Torah, where the Torah says that you're chopping wood, is referring to a situation where you're going to chop wood to build a sukkah. Okay? How do you know that's not the case? So what the Gemara answers? The Gemara says, well, let's say that you already had chopped wood. Let's say that you had wood already ready from last year. Let's say somebody else chopped wood for you. Is there a mitzvah to chop the wood?
If you already have the wood?
If you already have the wood. Is there a mitzvah to chop more wood? If you already have sufficient wood for your sukkah?
No.
No, there's not. Okay. So in that case, the Gemara says, since if you already have wood, there's no mitzvah to chop more wood, then even if you don't have wood, chopping the wood is not part of the mitzvah. Okay, there's no mitzvah to chop the wood for the sukkah, because you don't need to chop the wood, okay? Interesting. So okay, that's not so crazy by itself. Again, you have to think about the ideas of Hechshur Mitzvah when it comes to that. But listen to this. So Rashi and that Gemara adds in to explain the Gemara that chopping the wood is not the mitzvah. Rather, what is the mitzvah? Ella, he says, asiyas hasukkah. Okay, making the sukkah is a mitzvah. So what do you see from, what do you think Rashi is saying here? This is what the Avnei Nezer and others, you know, try to be dived from Rashi here. What's Rashi telling you by saying that line?
Is the double hechsher, it's a step.
Right, so chopping wood might be a double hechsher, but what is the mitzvah, Rashi says? He says the chopping wood is not the mitzvah. He doesn't say hechsher mitzvah, he says the mitzvah. He says chopping wood is not the mitzvah, rather, Ella, what's the mitzvah? Asiyas ha-sukkah. It sounds like Rashi's saying that building the sukkah is the actual mitzvah. Okay, again, he's not talking about hechsher mitzvah, he's talking about the actual mitzvah itself. So again, that's one maramakum they use to try to say that maybe some opinions here say that there is that there's some sort of mitzvah for building the sukkah also, according to Rashi, that's included in the mitzvah. Okay, any questions up until now? No, okay. So that's our introduction, just to talking about what the mitzvah is of sukkah. So the mitzvah of sukkah might, according to this, is not only living in the sukkah, but maybe also has some component of building the sukkah before, according to some.
After Yom Kippur, we start building the sukkah right away. We say it's to go from mitzvah to mitzvah.
Good.
If you really want to go from mitzvah to mitzvah, you could eat fruit or something.
Good, you're right. So the question is whether that mitzvah means a hechsher mitzvah. Is that the mitzvah of preparing for the mitzvah of sukkah? Or is it an actual mitzvah itself to actually build the sukkah? Is it a real part of the mitzvah? Meaning when the mitzvah of the Torah says you should keep sukkahs for 7 days, you should make it for yourself sukkahs for 7 days, does that mitzvah include the building? Or does that mitzvah mean you're sitting in the sukkah, but the preparation for the mitzvah is before? That's the question here. So according to this Rashi and the Avnei Nezer, maybe the building of the sukkah is actually part of the mitzvah of sukkah. Others would say, no, that's part of the preparation. There's a general idea that you should prepare for mitzvahs. But that doesn't mean it's part of the actual mitzvah of sukkah by itself. Okay. Very good. Let's start. All right, we'll see how far we get tonight. We're going to start the Mishnah and a little bit of the Gemara. Everybody have a Gemara here? that we have?
Not yet.
Okay. I can bring more next week also if we need.
I would buy the book.
Sure.
I wanted a brown one. They didn't have.
I see. So you didn't come at all. Seder. Okay. Good.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's fine. All right. Here we go. Sukkah shehi gavoa lamalam esrim ama psula v'Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Okay, the first case here. Sukkah, which is taller, which is higher than 20 amos high. An ama is approximately about 50 to 60 centimeters, approximately 20 inches. Again, there are different opinions about exactly how tall an ama is. We're not going to go into that right now. But a sukkah, which is taller than, again, you could figure out, I didn't do the math, how much is 20 amos?
40 feet.
40 feet. Okay, good. Or in centimeters, for those of us who don't... in this country, who don't do inches or feet anymore.
About
10 meters. Right, 10 meters. Okay, it's pretty high, right? So a sukkah, which is higher than 20 amos, is psula. Rabbi Yehuda holds that as kosher. So the Gemara is going to talk about Rabbi Yehuda a little bit later. We're not going to get into that now. The first question, before we even do the rest of the cases in the Mishnah, this is the main case that the Gemara here discusses, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Okay. What does that mean, that the sukkah is higher than 20 amos? Who wants to... How did you know that? You agree? What do you think it means?
What
do
you say?
It's a schach. Schach.
Well, schach's not suspended midair.
I was going to put like a ship on top of an apartment building or something.
Okay.
Let's say that you have the walls also. Let's say you could have the walls also that go that high. So what's the reason why it's possible? Well, I shouldn't say that. We're going to get to the reason why it's possible. But what does it mean that the sukkah is higher than 20 amos? So Moshe's right. That probably means the schach. Okay, the schach is higher than 20 amos. Can you have... Is there a problem if you make walls that are higher than 20 amos? If a schach is lower than 20 amos? I mean, if you make walls that are real...
And the schach is lower than me?
Right, there's not going to be a problem if the walls go higher than 20 amos. That's not the problem. The problem is going to be the schach going higher than 20 amos. Okay?
I thought it was always the walls.
Second?
I thought the problem with the 20 amos was that it was a problem with the shade.
Okay, so we'll see what the exact problem is. What did
you say? If you're talking out loud... The problem is you don't see the schach, you don't know your sukkah. If that's IF, you really
good.
Don't even know your
okay.
sukkah.
So everybody's already been mechavi to the Gemara. Very good. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss in a few lines. So wait till we get to that. But again, just note that definitely the Gemara here is, the Mishnah here is talking about the schach when it says sukkah. Why does the Mishnah seem to refer to schach as sukkah? What would you guess? Why do you think that word sukkah refers to schach? You're right. But when I think of sukkah, I think of sukkah, walls, sides, schach. Why does it use the word sukkah to refer to the schach? So maybe to demonstrate.
Schach is basically the sukkah.
That's what I was going to say. Very good. That this shows you here that the main part of the sukkah is really the schach. Okay, that's what makes the sukkah what it is. And again, we'll see in the Gemara a little later, maybe not tonight, maybe next week, how important the schach is, and the fact that even if, let's say, that the walls could be permanent, but that the schach has to be temporary, and that's part of what gives the sukkah its temporary nature, because the schach itself must be, you know, somewhat temporary. The schach is really the key part, the main part of the sukkah.
But it's 20 amot from the point it's built. So if it's built up high, it's 20 from it's itself is 20. It's irrelevant.
Very good. So it's, what Ben is asking is, let's say you have an apartment building and you build your sukkah on the fourth floor of your apartment building. Okay. So let's say you're at the 20th floor of your apartment building. Let's say you have a merpeset or something, and from the ground level, it's already more than 20 amos till you get to the bottom of the sukkah. But from the bottom of the sukkah itself to the top of the sukkah, you know, it's not 20 amos. That's fine. Is that a problem of being too high or not? So the answer is probably that it's fine. I mean, that's okay. And what we're talking about here is 20 amos from the bottom of the sukkah, and we'll see why in just in the Gemara. Okay, I mean, all the reasons of the Gemara basically mean that for the person that's sitting in the sukkah, that the top of the sukkah can't be more than 20 amos. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay. Now, the truth is that it's actually not so clear what that means either. All right? Oh, again, I don't want to get too detailed here, but just to ask the question. Let's say you have a sukkah. Okay? Let's say this is our sukkah. All right? Use your imaginations for a minute. All right? This is not water anymore. Now this is a sukkah. Okay? Let's say this is the bottom. Okay? Let's say that this is... goes up to 20 amos. Okay? Now, when we say that the sukkah, if the schach is higher than 20 amos, then it's pasul. Okay, does that mean that the schach itself is higher than 20 amos, or does it mean that the space inside, the airspace inside the sukkah, has to be higher than 20 amos even before you get to the schach? You hear the question? Any question? Again, I'm getting a little detailed here, but the Gemara in Erevin actually discusses this point. I'm not going to read it inside.
The 20 amos include schach or not.
Right, exactly. The 20 amos include the schach or not. So believe it or not, so I would have thought the answer is that it goes by the schach. And we'll have to see the Gemara what the reason is. I would have thought that if the schach itself is higher than 20 amos, it's bad. The Gemara there seems to say that, no, it's actually the airspace. Meaning if this point right here is exactly 20 amos, okay, and this is the schach, okay, this is exactly 20 amos. The schach is now higher than 20 amos, right? You got that? Exactly. We're in the middle, the bottom of the schach.
The schach is at 20 meters.
Say again?
The bottom of the schach is exactly the measurement.
Okay, fine. But in that case.
Exactly.
So I would have thought that's problematic, right? That's puzzle, okay? Because the schach itself is too high up. However, the Gemara in Erevin actually says that if the airspace is higher than 20 amos, it's a problem, but if the airspace is 20 amos and only the schach is higher than that, then that's okay. Again, we'll have to see when we get to the Gemara exactly why that should be. Okay, so
you
guys look at
it.
Right, so good. So we'll have to see how that works. But that's again something to keep in mind. Okay, Beseder. Next case. V'she'ino gavoa asara tfachim. Okay, when the sukkah is not 10 tfachim high. Again, very, very, very short. V'she'ino la defanos. Okay, or the sukkah doesn't have walls. What does that mean? So if you look at the parentheses there and the brackets on the side for where it says on the right side, sarech lomar shalosh. Okay, either shlosha or shalosh. It doesn't have three walls. Okay, v'shechama samruba metzilasa. Or if the sun is greater than the shade, meaning that there's more sun than shade in the sukkah, psula, then the sukkah is pasul. Basically, in two lines here, you've gone through all the major problems of a sukkah that a sukkah can have. Okay, the Gemara will spend about 20 daf trying to figure out all these cases here, but all of the main points are right here in the Mishnah. We're going to focus on the first case. All right, so again, we're going to ignore the last couple cases in the Mishnah. Now we're going to start with the first case. Of sukkah shigavu l'malam yasher ma'ama. All right. So the Gemara now starts us off with an interesting comparison to the discussion of a mabui. Okay, it's not hasam. The Mishnah of the Gemara says we learned it in the Mishnah on Erevin. Mabui shigavu me'esher ma'ama yima'it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer eno tzarech. Okay, if you have a mabui which is higher than 20 amas, then you should lower it down. Okay, you have to cut it down. You have to make it lower. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to do that. Does anybody know what a mabui is? Anybody remember what a mabui is? What this is talking about here?
Like when you come into a courtyard, like all the houses open up into a courtyard which has an entrance to it.
Good, okay.
Shabbos
and Erevin, good. Okay, so again, I don't have a diagram here. But let's say you have, okay, in the Talmudic times, so you had houses, all right? We have houses. Today they had houses, okay? Let's say you have four or five houses. Five houses open up into a courtyard. Okay, I'll take these examples here just for a second. I hope they're vibrating in the middle, right? Okay. I'm getting myself into big trouble here. All right, let's say these are our houses. Okay, you have four houses. Okay, one, two, three, four. The area in the middle, this is a chatzer. Okay, this is called the courtyard, right in the middle. Each house has an opening into the courtyard. Okay, good so far? Yeah, like the park. Very good. Okay, now, right. So that's a chatzer. What's a mavui? What's a mavui? So then the mavui, basically, the chatzer is the courtyard in between the houses. The chatzer has an opening that leads to a little alleyway. Okay, so let's say over here, this is an alleyway. Okay, this is a mavui. All right, this mavui has openings to this chatzer over here from these houses. This mavui on the other side has another opening to other chatzers. Okay, the mavui is over here. The mavui leads to over here. This would be, let's say, it's hard to do this here, but basically over here, this big area over here that the mavui leads to would be the rishus harabim. Okay, that's the public area. Okay, so you basically have big rishus harabim over here. You have your mavui alleyway, and then from your alleyway you go into the chatzer.
It's sort of like the Stoker Maglan.
Sort of. You don't really have a courtyard there so much.
No, but if there was a courtyard, that would be the mabui, it would be the
right.
Down the middle.
Okay, so if you want to say there was each house, like the houses on each side are like, go into a courtyard, and then Maglan is like a mabui. So that's fine. What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with Erevin? So the answer is that basically that question is, what's the status of that mabui? Okay, meaning, is that mavui considered to be a rishus harabim or rishus yachim? So, do you know the answer? What? Maybe. Okay, so nido raisa. The answer is it's actually rishus yachim. You know why? Because each side, on three sides, the mavui is surrounded by walls. Okay? Basically, the mavui here has, on this side, the walls of the houses in the chatzer. On this side, it has walls of the houses in the chatzer. And this side is a dead end. Okay? Put this over here. The only side that's open of the mavui is over here, the side of the Rishus HaRabim. Okay. So you have three sides here that are open, three walls makes a Rishus HaYachin. Okay. The question is, midrabanan, Chazal said that's not good enough. Okay, why is that? Because let's say somebody's carrying on Shabbos. Okay, somebody's going to carry from their house into their chatzar into the mavoi. Okay, it's a rishus hayochid. But if you're mavoi, let's say he's carrying his, you know, his talis and tefillin, or he's carrying who knows what a sefer. He's walking from the mavoi, and by accident, what might he do? He might step into the rishus harabim because there's no separation. Okay, so he might step right into the rishus harabim. Chazal are concerned that if you don't make some sort of, you know, recognizable sign, that people are going to violate Shabbos unwittingly. Therefore, Chazal say that what do you have to do? You have to make a heker. Okay, you have to do something to demonstrate there's a difference between the mavoi and the rishus harabim. What do you have to do? So basically, either what you do is you make a lechi or a korah. Okay, you make a board over here going up, right next to the rishus harabim, or you make a thing on top. Okay, a crossbeam. Okay, let's say the walls here go on the side, and here on the top there's a crossbeam. What's the purpose of these things? Okay, it doesn't sort of completely. You can still walk through. What's the point of having that there?
Symbolic wall.
Say again?
A symbolic wall.
Exactly, symbolic wall. Very good. What's the significance of that? Meaning, how does that help? Because somebody that's about to walk out, if they see the pole or they see the crossbeam.
I'm leaving the area.
Say again?
You're saying leaving the area.
Good. They're going to realize, they're going to remember that they can't carry from the. Exactly. Okay, that's going to be their recognition that they can't carry. From one to the other. Okay, so that's that mavui, that lechi or korah, is what allows you to carry in the mavui itself. Okay, and reminds you that you're not allowed to carry into the rishus harabim. Okay.
By definition, so, it's just a definition that the mavui has to have one side closed off.
Yeah. So again, the Mishnah, the Gemara doesn't even talk about this. About the mavui that's open on two sides. Maybe you're allowed to make maybe a lechi or korah on both sides. We're not going to go into that now. But in this situation, we're definitely talking about. That's what Rashi says. If you look at the Rashi, we're not going to read the whole thing because it's a little bit long. But the Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, Rashi says Mavui Shihu Gavoa. Rashi says Mavui Shihu Sasu Mishalosh Tadin. Okay, it's sealed on three sides. Roshah Pasuach Lishus Harabim, and the opening is opens up to the Lishus Harabim. V'chatziras Pasuachos Lo, and the courtyards are open up to the Mavui. V'yotos V'vos Lishus Harabim, and people can go in and out to the Lishus Harabim. Okay, so it's considered to be a Hari Rishus Hayachal of Nechatziros. It's considered to be a rishus hayachid for the people that live in the courtyards. However, asru chachamim lahotzim yirshus or rishus chaver below iri. Okay, Chazal forbade you from carrying from your property into the property of your friend somewhere else without an iri. Okay, and we're not going to read the rest of it. That means either through the chatzer or through the mavui, you can't carry without an iri. And part of the iri involves, you know, putting up these beams. So now, what's the Gemara's point here? So the Mishnah that it's quoting basically says, if you have a mavui, if you have a crossbeam on top, which is higher up than 20 amos, what does it say? Yima'it. It says Yima'it. You have to lower it. Okay, why do you have to lower it? Take a guess.
You don't see it.
Exactly. Very good. Because it needs to be a heker, you need to be able to see it. If you can't see it, it loses the whole point. Right? Okay. So that's what you have to do. There are Yehuda over Anitzar. Yehuda disagrees. He says that's not necessary. Again, we're not going to go through Yehuda Shita now. Tomorrow we'll discuss it later, much, much later on. That's what the Gemara says.
Just as a sidebar, are we going to discuss at any point where Esrim comes from? Because it's very, very high.
Yes, so that's going to be the next section of the Gemara. This is really, these couple lines at the beginning of the Gemara, sort of like the prelude. These are like the more technical parts of the Gemara, which, you know, I don't really want to spend a lot of time on. It's sort of, you know, these technical points often come up at the beginning of the Sefta.
For Sukkah, I understand it. So.
Uh-huh. Oh, so for Mavui, the idea is the heker. Okay, it's the same, you know, it's pretty clear
from
here.
Hanukkah candles, though, as well.
What Moshe said, what is that?
Hanukkah candles, as well.
Yeah. So Hanukkah candles, also a similar idea of presuming Nisa, that you need to be able to see it. Okay? Yeah. Being, the assumption is that higher than 20 amos is very difficult for a person to see it. And when it comes to Erevin, you know, to a Mavui, the heker won't be there. Meaning you won't remember, it won't be a reminder that you're in a, you know.
I'm asking why 20, because it's very high.
Okay, so that I can't tell you. The Gemara, they seem to have assumed, based on their, you know, evaluation. Again, it could be according to some. I think some people say that maybe it was Halakha Moshe Sinai. I think it was the Ron. Somebody said that maybe it was Halakha Moshe Sinai.
20 comes from the decimator.
Meaning what?
I think if I remember correctly, it was one of the entrances to the decimator is considered the maximum size for a Tzura HaPetach comes from.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, the Gemara in Erevin says, "Is that the 20 amos thing, or is that
it's 20 amos?
High. 20 amos.
That was the maximum
right.
For the korah for the. It wasn't Sharanikan or
right.
For one of the Sharim.
I think you're right. Yeah, you're right. So that's what in Erevin says. So the question is, again, was that something which they had a tradition that's the reason why it was that high, Or was it, and also, does everybody agree with that opinion? I don't remember. I looked up the word in Arabic. I had no chance to look it up, fortunately. But, okay, again, this is not really the key part of our sugya here today. We're just, you know, we're going to do all the Gemaras. So the Gemara says, Ma'ishna gavi sukkah the tani b'zula, Ma'ishna gavi mavi the tani takanta. Okay, let me understand what the Gemara is asking here. We're bothered by the difference in language. Okay, what does our Mishnah say? The tani 20 amos, then the halacha is?
Puzzle.
Okay, what does the Mishnah in Arabic say? Higher than 20 amos?
Lower it.
Okay, see the difference? Mm. Okay, interesting question, right? Wants to know why does in one case does it say tell you how to fix it? And in the other case it says that it's possible. So the Gemara answers. Okay, the Gemara answers. So look at the Gemara has two answers here. The first answer of the Gemara is good. Sukkah da raisa tani psula. Mavu d'rabbanan tani takanta. Okay, sukkah, which is midoraisa, meaning the mitzvah of sukkah, is min ha-Torah. So therefore, for that, it says that it's puzzle. Okay, meaning the Mishnah says it's puzzle. Mavui, with the institution of mavui, meaning of making a mavui and of, you know, putting this lechi or korah there as a recognition, is only midrabbanan. That's an invention of Chazal. Therefore, it says takanta. Therefore, it says there that you have to. It explains to you how to fix it. Okay, now, can anybody explain that to me? What's pshat? What's the one we're talking about here? This is, by the way, this is an interesting point when it comes to methodology of how to learn Gemara, a little more analytical Gemara, and especially how to appreciate Rashi. Okay, very, very important point here. Okay, if you don't look at Rashi, and I ask you here to explain to me, what is the Gemara talking about? Okay, it's very nice, sukkah is d'oraisa, and mavui is d'rabbanan, okay? But so what? Why does the fact that sukkah is d'oraisa explain why the Mishnah says the word pasul? And why does the fact that Mavu is Drabbanan explain why the Mishnah in Erevin says lower it?
You could lower it.
You're right, of course, absolutely. That's the point. You could do either one, meaning the Mavu, if you leave it as it is, it's puzzle, and therefore you can't carry on Shabbos there in that area, Mi Drabbanan. And the Sukkah, if you did lower it, it would be kosher. So what's the Gemara saying? What's the explanation of the Gemara here? It doesn't explain it. Everybody hear the point here? You hear the question? Just simple pshas. You read the Gemara, and you say, what does it mean? I don't know. Anybody know?
You see that it's possible because it's much more of a, it's much more of a negative connotation to it. There's no way that you would get away with that. I mean, you could make it lower, but you should just recognize the gravity of the situation relative to.
So explain. So go on. So why is that specifically by sukkah, not by mowi?
Because there's no way you'd be able to fulfill a mitzvah. Meaning,
okay,
if you do a mowi that's higher than 20 amos, it's not as if there's any mitzvah that you're fulfilling or not fulfilling by doing it.
Ah.
It's a protection mechanism. If you're doing a sukkah and you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah by doing it, then it's much more, you know,
okay,
it's like, you know, in terms of the way you would do it, it's a pedagogical methodology, I guess.
Okay, very interesting. Able to, what, everybody hear Kevin say?
What I meant is the lishma, the fact that mavui is kosher whether you did lishma or not, but a tzrach, and you can't just lower it, you have to lower it and have a lishma in mind when you lower it that you're putting it on.
Okay, that's also very, very, that's an interesting point. I did not see that point discussed anywhere. Could be. I'm not sure. I mean, you're making a valid point. I'm not sure if that would be a reason of why it says psula and not. I mean, you want to say that because that you need
there's
an additional element.
That it doesn't exist in Mavoi.
Okay, that's a good explanation. I didn't see anybody that said that, but it could be that maybe you could say that psula means psula because even if you did. Even if you lowered it, that by itself might not be good enough. You'd need to do it. You need to do it. You know, lishma. Now again, lishma, we'll have to discuss what that means and, you know, in which cases of schach does the schach become puzzle if you don't put it there for the right reasons. It's not so simple. Actually, it's a little more complicated. So I think we're gonna, you know, not get into that tonight. Basically, what Kevin said is actually somewhat similar to the suggestion of the Ritva. Okay, the Ritva actually says something similar to that. That in the case of mavui. So okay, it's very, very nice if the mavui is not there. Okay, so is it puzzle? Is the mavui puzzle? It's not puzzle. All it means is that in terms of carrying there on Shabbos, can you carry there on Shabbos? The answer is no. But it's not puzzle. You can walk there. It's still a mavui. It just means you can't carry there. As opposed to sukkah, okay? Sukkah, if the schach is too high, will you fulfill your mitzvah of sukkah? It's not a sukkah. Okay, it's not a sukkah, and you won't fulfill your obligation of sukkah, of mitzvah of sukkah, of yeshiva sukkah by sitting in there. So that's why, according to the Ritva says something along those lines as well. That's why maybe it says puzzle, meaning that really sukkah is pasul. Okay, you can't fulfill your obligation in the sukkah. However, for mavui, it can't use the word pasul because mavui is not pasul. It just means that you can't walk there. Okay, so that's why for mavui it gives you the takana, the way to fix it. That's the explanation of the Ritva. Okay, and that's one way of looking at it. According to the Ritva, he says the best thing to say is pasul. The best ideal language would be pasul, but by mavui you can't say the word pasul because it's not really pasul. It's just that you can't walk there. Rashi, if anybody looked at Rashi, Rashi doesn't say that. Okay, Rashi has a different explanation. Let's take a look at Rashi and tell me if this makes sense to you. Rashi is a little strange. Rashi says. Rashi says, this is the Rashi of Sukkah Midoraisa. Okay, it's, I don't know how to describe it. It's right, right across from where the Gemara starts. Okay, anybody have where it is? Sukkah Midoraisa. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Sukkah Midoraisa? De Esrim Amad Yilal Yalfina Midoraisa, the Kodim Shanishis HaMishnah Nemra Shira Misinai. Okay, again, this we'll have to discuss at a different point. But Rashi says the shear of 20 amos, that it can't be higher than 20 amos, we learn at Min HaTorah, as we'll see later in the Gemara. And before the Mishnah was taught, Kodem Shanishnas HaMishnah, Nemra Shira Misinai, the shear of 20 amos was already mentioned at Sinai. Meaning when the Mishnah reports the measure of 20 amos, it's reporting a measure of something which is already, a halacha which is already in effect. Okay. Therefore, Rashi says, Tani Psula, read the next Rashi. Shayach lemeisne balashon pasul, kilomar lonasis ketorah v'chalacha. Therefore, it makes sense to use the word pasul because it's telling you that the sukkah was not done ketorah v'chalacha, like the Torah, like the halacha. Meaning, we have a halacha, we already know from the Torah that it can't be higher than 20 amos. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Psula, it means that it has not been done according to the laws of the Torah, which already exists. As opposed to Mavui, Mavui de kula midrabanan, right? The whole institution of Mavui is midrabanan, midiraisa, sagila, vishalash, mechitzos. Midiraisa, can you carry in a place which has three walls on Shabbos? The answer is
yes.
Yes. Okay, the whole idea is midrabanan in the first place. The eno tzarech lakorazu el midrabanan, the only requirement of this extra beam is midrabanan. Keep going in Rashi. Tani takanta. That's why it says the idea of explaining it. Delo shayach lemeisne ba lashon pasul. Because it doesn't make sense, it's not relevant to talk about the language of pasul. Why? Listen to this. Deman pasla kodem shenishnis mishnazu. Harehi tchilas haraso mitzvaso. Who said that this was pasul before the Mishnah was taught? This is the first time that we learn this halacha of mavui, that it's harehi tchilas haraso mitzvaso. This is the first time that we have this instruction on the mitzvah of mavui. Meaning, when the Mishnah says...
itself is the first time.
Right, meaning the Mishnah is telling you that it's pasul, but... if you didn't know that it was pasul beforehand, then how can the Mishnah tell you that it's pasul? The Mishnah is telling you right now that I'm telling you that midrabanan, we invented this new gezeira of a mavui. That's not, according to Rashi, that's not something that you'd write the word pasul. Pasul is for something which the invalidation already existed beforehand. And the Mishnah is telling you it's invalid based on previous rules. The Rashi is saying you can't use the word invalid, pasul, when it's referring to a new halacha which was just invented right now, or at least just recorded right now.
Does that mean that you learned as whoever was learning sukkah or was ready when he wrote down the Mishnah was decided on the rulings for sukkah way before he decided them?
So again, what he's saying is that all these halachas of pasul mean all things which are pasul min haTorah. They're all things which are min haTorah are invalid. Do you buy this thing? Rashi is a very, very interesting explanation of Rashi. It's not the first thing that you would say, but again, I want you to appreciate that the reason Rashi is is stuck here because the Gemara does not explain what the difference is between the word pasul and yama'in and takanta. Why it makes sense that for Daraisa it should say pasul and for Darabana it should say takanta. It's not clear. So Rashi came up with this explanation here, which is very, very interesting. According to Rashi, it seems to be that you can never use the word pasul when it comes to a Darabana. And according to Rashi, it should come out that any case where something is invalid midrabanan, you can't use the word pasul. That's what it seems according to Rashi here. That's what Rashi's saying. Okay, that it doesn't make sense to use the word pasul for any situation where the rabbis invented the rule, you know, when the Mishnah was taught, or at least shortly before that. I didn't do a search. I didn't do a study. My impression was that there are other cases.
No, something which is kulei midrabanan.
Yeah,
Which Chachamim would add as yag to the Torah.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That could be. Meaning, if you have something which is a halacha min haTorah, but the rabbis sort of add an extra, you know, dimension, then maybe you could use the word pasul. But in this case, the whole halacha of, well, you could say that here also, though, because really here also the halacha of carrying is clearly midoraisa. You can't carry on Shabbos without, you know, when it was just around.
But the whole din of korah or lechi is purely drabanan.
Right. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It could be that's the answer, according to Rashi. Anyway, but Becholof and Rashi is very, very interesting here when it comes to, you know, this, the way that he interprets this Gemara. And if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos did not interpret the Gemara in the same way. Okay, I don't think we're going to read the whole Tosfos inside now. We'll read the first couple lines, though. Tosfos says, let's look at Tosfos very carefully. This is the second Tosfos in the Masechet. Okay, Doraisa, Tani Psula. Tell me if you can explain how Tosfos is differing than Rashi here. Tosfos says the following. De'ihava Tani Yema'it, if the Mishnah for Sukkah had said the word Yema'it, meaning it says the word puzzle, if it had not said the word puzzle, and instead it said the word Yema'it, what would we have thought? Chayshinan Dilma Tai Inesh Lomar Yema'it Lechachila V'di'evan K'shera. Okay. We're afraid that people might have made a mistake to say that when it says Yema'it, it means you should fix it. But what happens if you didn't fix it? Meaning if you kept your schach higher than 20 amos. So the Mishnah would have said, if the Mishnah would have said, make it lower. Okay. But what if you didn't do that? What would people think? Maybe.
But the evidence, okay.
Yeah, maybe it's a bit the evidence. Ideally, the best thing to do is to lower the level of your schach. But if you didn't do it, maybe it's still kosher. Okay. So he says, v'diktik b'lashono, and therefore the Mishnah is very medaktik in its language to tell you that it's possible, dilma osi lidei isur doraisa, to make sure that people should not come to a Torah prohibition. Okay. Look at the first part of Tosfos here. Does this sound like Rashi? No, this is not saying the same thing as Rashi at all. Okay.
They're both still distinguishing between, major distinguishing between Doraisa and Derabbanan.
Correct.
They both are. They're making the point that there's a huge difference between Doraisa and Derabbanan.
Tosfos is basically the other half of what the Ritva says. The Ritva says why you can't say Tosfos for Baboy.
Good.
And Tosfos says why you can't say Yemaya for Sukkah.
Good, very good. That's a good point. That's a good point. Now again, without getting too detailed here, I think each of is starting from a different point. Maybe the Ritva is starting by explaining why it doesn't make sense to use the word puzzle for the mavoi, right? I'm saying together, right? Because the Ritva said that the idea of what's it called? Again, how do we say the Ritva again? One more time. I forgot what we said. So the Ritva said that
the mavoi is a puzzle. It's just a
right. It's the right. Good.
Italian.
Good. So the Ritva is explaining why the word puzzle doesn't make sense for mm-hmm. you know for the mavoi. Tosfos is saying that the idea of the Torah mitzvah of Sukkah doesn't the other side. Tosfos says that it doesn't make sense to use the word puzzle. Yema'it for the Sukkah, because if you did that, then people would come to think, they would come to, you know, become in danger of transgressing the Doraisa, because they would think that really it's b'di'evit, it's kosher. Okay, that's the way Tosfos understands it. He says, okay, that's very nice. Then he says, v'tari psula af agav de lo havi lishna ma'alya kmo yamai. Okay, so very nice. So before we explain the next line of Tosfos, okay, so we understand why it says puzzle for Sukkah. But why, according to Tosfos, why does it say Yemai for Mavoi? Why doesn't it say Puzzle there also? Right? I mean, he explained one side, but he didn't explain the other side yet. Why can't you say the word Puzzle when it comes to Mavoi? So look at this. So Tosfos now explains why he has a preference that really Yemai would be better. Okay, really the word Yemai would be better. Why is that? Because he says, Afakav delahavim lishna ma'alya, because Puzzle is not a lishna ma'alya, a positive language. Okay? Kemo Yemai. Okay? Like the word Yemai, which is more positive. Mavoi derabbanan lo chayesh. Okay, but for Mavoi, which is only Mijarabanan, we're not Chayesh. Tana Yemaishu Lishna Ma'alya. And therefore it teaches the word Yema'it, which is Lishna Ma'alya, which that's considered to be a more positive Lashon. Kid'ashkham Resh Psachim, like the Gemara says in Psachim. Sheikam Akasov Kam Osio Shalalahosi Dover Maguna Mipi, because the Torah there uses extra words in order to not use a language which is which is more negative. Okay, does anybody have any clue what Tosfos is talking about here? Anybody know? Excellent, very good, David. Okay, so right, so the Torah says in Parshas Noach, when it's talking about the animals that went into the Teva, it says for the animals, what, not every time, but one time, it says that the animals which were not Tahor, right, so how many animals went in? There was only two and not seven. Okay, so where it says that one time, why does it say the animals that were not Tahor? Why doesn't it just say the animals which are Tameh? To teach you that there's a value to always trying to talk in a positive method, right? It's always appropriate to use positive, appropriate language. Okay, and important point today, people are very not so careful with their language sometimes. That's the famous, you know, important Gemara, which comes to teach you that, you know, you should always talk properly in language. And the Gemara there is saying that, the word...
Careful.
Say again?
You should be very, very not careful, again, emphasizing the good part, not the bad part.
Exactly, right. So even Asher, you're not a Tahara, because the Torah wants to teach you that the language of Tameh, even the word Tameh, it's a Hebrew word, but the word Tameh is not as ideal to use as the idea of Asher Yinana Tahara. Again, very, very interesting. So here also Tosfos says, ideally, which one is better to use? Yamayit or Pasul? Which would be ideally, which would be the best thing to say? Yamayit or Pasul?
Yamayit,
correct. I mean, according to Tosfos, Tosfos is saying that Yamayit is really better. It's better to say the positive. It's better to say how to do this. Okay, it's better to say that how you should fix it by lowering the level of Mavui. So for Mavui, which is Drabbanon, there's no reason why we can't do that. It's fine. Because it's only Chashash Drabbanon, there's no concern that if you say Yamayit and the person doesn't do it, okay, fine. You know, it's only Drabbanon, it's not a big deal. For a Doraisa like Sukkah, we can't say Yamayit. Why not? Because if we said Yamayit, we're afraid that people might end up violating the Doraisa, because they'll think, yeah, I should lower it, but if I don't, it's still fine, but the evidence is kosher, and then they're going to violate the Psul Doraisa of Sukkah in that situation of being above 20 amos, so you can't say that. Okay? So according to Tosfos, the operative principle here is really that we're trying to use positive language, but when we can't do that, then we say Pasul. Very, very different perspective than Rashi. Okay, very, very different perspective than Rashi. Rashi is basically saying that there's a difference between, you know, Doraisa and Drabbanon in terms of Pasul, what existed before, what didn't. Tosfos is saying the whole idea here has to do with, ideally, we should use positive language, but when we can't, when we have no choice, because we're afraid people are going to violate things, then we'll resort to using the language of Pasul. Okay, and of course the Ritva also was, you know, again looking at a different side, the side of the Mavoy, that we said before. Okay, I guess this is a good point to stop. We didn't actually start the section of the Gemara of discussing what the source is for 20 Amos. Okay, that's going to be the next part of the Gemara. How do you know that that more than 20 Amos, if the Schach is more than 20 Amos high, how do you know that that is puzzle? Okay, with some very, very interesting answers. There are three different answers in the Gemara, three different psukim in the Gemara to try to prove that that it's less than that it's puzzle over 20 Amos. Again, we're not going to go into it tonight, but basically one has to do with whether what Moshe said, the person knows that he's not going to realize he's in a sukkah. Number two is that the shade from the schach is not going to be evident when it's so high up. And number three, that it's not really so temporary. It's really temporary, it's more permanent when it's higher than 20 amos. And we'll discuss the implications of each of those answers next week. Just to end off on a mahashkafa, based on that Tosfos, I think Tosfos and the whole idea of the Gemara Pesachim teaches you a very, very important philosophical point as well, and a machshava point as well, that when you want to give somebody, suggest to somebody or criticize somebody, or give someone tochacha about how to do something properly, so the best way to do it is not always to criticize, hey, you didn't do that, you didn't do this, right, you did that wrong, okay? Doesn't go, right? It just doesn't go. And we have other, of course, of Chazal also where they say that. Criticizing negatively is not the right way to do things. The positive language, okay, you might means if it's higher, your mavui is higher than 20 amos, don't say, hey, you did that wrong, right? You're going to be over an Isra Doraisa on Shabbos. No. The best way to say, you know what? The mavui is a little bit too high. The suggestion is the best way to fix it. I'll tell you practically what the solid suggestions are in order to change it to make it kosher, lower it. Same thing when you're giving, when you're talking to people and you want to tell people what to do, again, if it's your family or other people at work, whatever it is, the much better suggestion and the more effective way of giving, we call constructive criticism, is to give somebody the positive suggestion about what to do to fix the problem rather than just criticize about what's wrong with it. It's a nice hashkafa point.
Is Rashi saying that the word puzzle was established going back, I said that it's used in context with all the laws, the word puzzle, Hashem gave the word puzzle to
No. What he means
context?
To say is that the word puzzle can only refer to a situation where the halacha already existed before.
I understand that, but the actual word, is he also saying that the
No, I don't
puzzle,
think that's what he means.
Well, that's just the word that was...
Right. It can be used in the Mishnah in a situation when it... Right, correct. Obviously that's what the halacha is, but he means that the Mishnah will use the word pasul when it's referring to a halacha which existed beforehand. But if the Mishnah is the first source that we see for that halacha, and that nobody, before the Mishnah, not so many people knew about it, because really the Chazal invented it, then the word pasul doesn't really make sense to use. It makes sense to more explain that there's something wrong with it in the first place. Okay.
All right.
Okay.